Hey there, are you tired of waking up at 3 a.m. with your sheets soaking wet? Or maybe you don't know why you can't get rid of that extra bulge around your waist. Perhaps you're like I was, anxious all the time. If you see yourself in this or any of the other 100 perimenopausal symptoms that we have to navigate in midlife, and you want to sleep better, manage your weight, and get rid of the hot flashes and night sweats, well, head over to hellohotflash.com/scorecard and take the free 28-day hot flash free challenge. Reclaim the vibrancy you had in your youth. That's hellohotflash.com/scorecard. Hey there, I'm Stephanie Shaw. Welcome to the Hello Hot Flash podcast, where midlife women can learn from guest experts and authors who discuss menopause and all that comes with this new chapter in our lives. Hello Hot Flash, where we learn to control the change and not let the change control us. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Hello Hot Flash, where we help you control the midlife change. I'm excited to be celebrating Women's History Month this month. There are so many great women doing so many great things that I decided to bring together a small group of women to discuss how they are navigating life and to give us some helpful tips as well. Today, we are going to talk to some industry leaders like Laura, who's an attorney who supports women who have been betrayed by a significant other, Mary Beth, who runs the International Center for Women's Leadership. Noreen, with her laughter wellness certification from UC Berkeley, can help us find humor in trauma. Women like Shula, who also helps women dealing with trauma. Randy, who is a mental health advocate, and Stephanie, who supports women who are dealing with anxiety and sleep issues. And actually, Noreen's not with us today, but she might join us in a minute, I guess. Welcome, ladies. My idea around this episode was to have women hear from other women how they have dealt with perimenopause in the workplace, whether you were the employee and or the employer. I recently wrote a Brains Magazine article titled Navigating Menopause with Grace, Four Habits of Professional Executive Women. And as I sat there writing the article, I was actually saddened by the fact that it was necessary to write. When it comes to the workplace, as women age, they are often overlooked or dismissed, and we are labeled as aging, out of our prime, complainers, while men are actually labeled seasoned, just stepping into their prime or go-getters. So I want us all to be part of changing that narrative. In the article, I gave four pieces of advice: open communication, prioritizing self-care, work-life balance, and building a supportive network. And I'd encourage listeners to check out the article and or listen to episode 123 of Hello Hot Flash, where I go into a little more detail. All right, so let's get started. I'm going to just open up the first question. And just take yourselves off mute if you would like to respond. The first question is, how has navigating either menopause and or midlife impacted your professional life, especially as it relates to being a business owner?
This is Shula. So I'm turning 60 this year. And a couple of years ago, I recognized how I was in a relationship of conflict with my body as it aged. And I thought to myself, I do not want to hate myself for the next 30, 40 years. I expect to live till I'm over 90, right? So I undertook this process of exposing myself to different images of what it meant to be an older woman, particularly archetypal, mythical, and other images, and really integrating for myself what it meant to be an old woman, to be a crone specifically. And my word of the year for this year is potent as a result of that work, because it makes me think of the tincture, you know, the herbal tinctures that we use, where they're boiled down to their very essence. There's nothing more than just the essential element. And it's very, very strong. And you have to take it in small doses because it's so powerful. Yeah. And when I integrated this sense of myself as potent as a result of what I have lived through in my life experience, then this set the foundation for what I want to do in my business and how I want to grow in my business. For example, I've been working mostly one-on-one now with women entrepreneurs to support them in riding the emotional roller coaster of running a business, but I want to step into more impact in the world and onto bigger stages. And having this sense of connection with my potency and power and what it is I have to bring inspired me now to speak more widely and on larger stages and to open a new or offer in my business of paid speaking, which is something that I could, if I hadn't had a sense of myself as having something to offer, which came as a result of where I am in my life cycle, I would never have stepped into this next phase of my business.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Boiling yourself down. That's so powerful. Yeah. Stephanie, I saw your hand go up.
Yes. Shula said a word that triggered something for me about crone, because, oh my gosh, a lot of people just heard her and then me say that word. It's like, oh, it's a nasty word. But you know what? At the very tail end of when I was in menopause, I'm 64 now. I have no problems telling you how old I am, because I embrace it all. I am here. I'm on the right side of the grass. So that's good, right? At the very tail end of my menopausal journey, I was at a retreat as a speaker with much younger women. You know, they all had little kids. My kids were probably in high school or in college at that time. And I realized that I was the crone. And rather than, you know, oh my gosh, all those negative connotations, I really embraced it as, okay, I hadn't gone gray yet. I hadn't let that out of the bag yet. But, you know, these bags were a little hard to hide. So rather than shying away from it or trying to hide it, it was like I was embracing it. These women are coming to me asking me for my wisdom. That word crone, it could have a negative connotation, or you could be like Helen Mirren, I think it was, who said when she turned 70, she was out of to give. I'm there.
Yeah, that's awesome. We have that in us. We're embracing that. You wanted to speak to that, Laura. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's just so much around that word crone. Similarly, in my journey, I actually hit menopause when I learned about my husband's infidelity, because trauma can kick you into menopause. So not only was I dealing with a brand new trauma, but then I was also dealing with the trauma of menopause. And then all those insecurities of, am I not young enough and pretty enough, came clashing right in with that image of the crone. And how it empowered me to go further in my business, to go deeper in my business, to have more visibility was, I thought, you know, like you were saying earlier, Shula, with the image of the maiden, the mother, and the crone, the maiden has to hide. The maiden has a lot to lose. The mother has to be there for her kids. It's not about her. And I thought, hey, I am so happy to be the crone. I have nothing to hide. I don't have to be there for anybody else except me. And if you don't like me, you're the one that's missing out, not me. So it totally empowered me to embrace that crone.
Oh, wow. I knew this would be a good group. I love that. Love those responses, because you're right. That connotation, denotation. But when you just embrace and recognize how much wisdom we have right now, it's super, super powerful if we're using it. So I love that. Laura, I'm going to pivot back to you a little bit. How do we create a supportive work environment for women going through menopause and business? Because not everyone understands what we're going through, and not everyone, even as a woman, is willing to embrace what they're going through. So how can we create that supportive environment?
Great question. I think there's kind of two faces to that. First is recognizing that everybody has a different menopausal experience, mm-hmm. in the same way that anybody has a different any kind of experience. So asking, how can I best support you? Maybe not directly, but to your whole employee base. How can we support you? Come to me. It will be held confidential. And being willing to listen and being willing to really understand. And then the other side of that, because I said there's two sides of it, is leading with that authenticity and vulnerability yourself. Mm. Letting people know, I am struggling with a hot flash right now. Postpone. I need to step outside. I need to grab some water. Or I'm struggling to find words. It's a moment to educate. Did you know aphasia is a part of menopause? And sometimes in menopause, women struggle to find words. I'm having that happen right now. I'll be back. Or give me a moment. Educating, owning it, and asking and getting curious.
I love that. Mary Beth, you had your hand up.
Yeah. And for me, it's, and I use the word sacred responsibility to ourselves and to other women, you know, women that are our employees or our clients' team. And we get to be the role models, because, you know, what I found that every interaction that we have, that's our legacy. And it's not just for the rich and famous, right? The word legacy. It's we leave these marks on people. And when we can step up and support first ourselves and other women, that is where we really get to build this culture and this organization and this community, right? And it is supporting other women. And it's every day, the little steps, the little things, you know, you talked about, you know, reaching out to people. And it can be, oh gosh, such a little tiny thing. Like, you know what? Can we talk about this being open? You know, we talked about being vulnerable and putting it out there. And I think, Laura, that's what you were talking about, being vulnerable and being authentic. And we get to role model that. And when we do that, I think that gives other women, younger women, courage.
I love that. Randy.
So thank you. I love this discussion as well. And I may be the most potent member of the group at 71. So I'm long past menopause. And I have the privilege of playing out my aging process, not only in my life, but on stage as well, as I go from playing Rizzo in Grease to Miss Lynch, which just happened last summer. And I love the word potent. I'm going to learn to love the word crone because I've never, you guys have educated me today. Brief story. I did play Miss Lynch in Grease last summer. And when you're playing Miss Lynch, you're the only woman of age in the entire cast. Everyone is young and lithe and stretching in ways that is no longer possible for your body. And I felt a little bit like, do I even belong here? But on stage and apart, just like in life, we all have our roles to play. And I did write a blog about this, and poor Margot, who played Rizzo, I've told this story so many times, but she wrote thank you notes. And her thank you note to me said, ah, Randy, the queen herself, thank you so much for your wisdom and for sharing your theater background with us and for being a guiding light and showing me that a lifelong career in theater is possible. That note changed my perception from crone to queen. Mm. And, you know, long past menopause, we're all going to age if we're lucky. And it really inspired me to know that I had a place as a person of wisdom in a theater community as well as in a corporate community.
Yeah. So first of all, my hat's off to you that you're 71, you look amazing, and that you're still so active. There are so many women who think, oh, I'm 71, it's time to, you know, just sew and crochet my life away, which I love to do both, but I digress. But, you know, and that's the only thing they do. So you're a living testimony that we can still be super vibrant in as we age. So I love that. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing
that. Thank you. I like to play. What can I tell you?
Yeah. And that, you know, that's why, like, even your the physicality I can see as you're moving in the conversation, you exude being young and having a lot of energy. So I know actually all of you women do. So this is a great conversation and I can't wait for the video to be out so folks can see everyone and so forth. Let's go to Mary Beth. Mary Beth, we'll go back to you. Have you encountered any misconceptions or stereotypes about menopausal women in the business world and or period, and how do you think that we as women should be addressing those?
Absolutely, yes, to both questions in the business world. And I have to not trump you, but I'm 74. So
I have been dethroned.
Hey,
Beth, no, you dethroned me.
No, we can share that.
Still a queen.
Nah, I'm not in the competition, but so I have seen a lot of, I'll call it stuff, and which held me down a lot in the business world. Most of the time, I was the only person at the table in terms of being a woman. Mm-hmm. And I let it actually define me for a long time. And I have to say maybe it was after menopause that I started to say, you know what, I don't need to be that person anymore. And that comes with so much learning. We use the word wisdom, and it came with a lot of support as well. I have to say, I've been really, really lucky in terms of people that I have worked with and companies that I have worked for as my clients and mentors that have stepped up, both men and women, that I got to also embrace, because I think part of what we do is, for me, being curious, how can I use this experience to learn to be better? But it took me a long time to get there because, as I say, I let it kind of define me, that good girl culture, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up with children should be seen and not heard. And, you know, I accepted that for a long time. And then I think for me, it got to a point of being too painful. And it was like, I'm done, no more. And I think part of it is when our bodies go through such a change, when we really are aware and acknowledge that, that takes us to other places emotionally, you know, and to really get in touch with, yeah, I'm getting older and my soul longs for more. Mm-hmm. So I think that has really been my experience. And also how that I've really taken to heart in terms of working with my clients.
Love that. Anyone else want to respond to that? Yeah, go ahead, Randy.
Just a quote from a book I just finished reading, Day by Michael Cunningham. And at the end of the book, a character is going through a transition. And she says, it is the end of this with a capital T. And it's the beginning of that with a capital T. Mm-hmm. And I just love that.
Yeah, love that too. Anyone else?
Sure. Stephanie, I wanted to talk a little bit about what I've observed with my clients, where in my situation, I returned to school to get a master's degree in counseling and became a therapist. My goal was to finish the master's before I was 50, and I did it. Yay. But also, as an older woman coming into the job market at the bottom of the field, you know, I knew my job prospects were not good. And for many, many women, this is their situation. They may face situations in corporate workplaces that just don't suit them. And so what I've observed is many women will come to self-employment or entrepreneurship, running their own business, being their own boss, as a way to create for themselves the kind of experience that they want to have, where they are not discounted, where they are not bossed around by people who don't see them for who they truly are, but that they can fully express themselves, right? And instead of having to navigate the complexities of corporate relationships. And I think this is a way that many women step into their power as older women by saying, okay, I'm done with the corporate world. I'm going to do this for myself now. And it's the antidote that many folks, women in particular, are taking into their own hands to compensate for the barriers and to circumnavigate those barriers that we experience, especially as older women in the business world.
Yeah. So do you agree that that's a good thing for women to do?
I think it's a complicated thing for women to do because I think all of us here are self-employed and we all know what an emotional roller coaster it can be.
Yeah.
You have to be a certain kind of person to want to work for yourself. And there are sleepless nights, but there are also incredible joys, right? An enormous amount of empowerment and scope. There's no one to tell you no. And that's terrible and fantastic all at once. Right. So I won't paint it as like the be all end all. There's a lot of glorification of entrepreneurship now. And, you know, as a mental health professional who supports women business owners with their mental and emotional well-being, there are unique challenges to our mental and emotional well-being that we experience when we run our own businesses. Mm-hmm. But that's not a reason not to do it. It's just something to keep in mind because it can be, and for many people is a very empowering experience.
Mm-hmm. I know. I do find it. And I left corporate for some of the same reasons that you mentioned. It was just, I was sick for 2 years and it was all perimenopausal symptoms. And I'd always wanted to be an entrepreneur, but I'm like, this is my opportunity. This is a way for me to heal, for me to manage my own time, for me to grow and to use some of the wisdom that I've gathered from, you know, 30 plus years out there working in the quote unquote real world. But, you know, for real, this is more real than that is, because every 2 weeks you knew you had a paycheck. You're right. It's like that ebb and flow. But I think the fact that a lot of women are going toward entrepreneurship shows their strength, shows that they're able to navigate when things are getting a lot tougher and can get through those different journeys. So yeah, super important. I like that. Stephanie, as a successful woman entrepreneur, what message or messages of inspiration or encouragement would you like to give other women navigating menopause, perimenopause, and or just midlife in general?
Listen to your inner voice.
Mm-hmm. That's huge.
Like that's the mic drop, right? We are so busy in our earlier years. You know, I think back to when I was in the throes of menopause, my life was so busy because I had kids. I, you know, had a husband. I was, you know, trying to rush around. Oh, and by the way, I was starting a business. Mm-hmm. And so it was, you know, it was a lot. And so when we've got all of these things going on, we are trained to listen to the people who know, the people who have the answers. Mm-hmm. And so that would be, you know, if I only had one little piece, and I have a lot more, if I only had one little piece of wisdom to pass down to the generations, as I hope I have done to my kids, it's we have two ears and one mouth for a reason. Listen, listen, most importantly, to your inner voice, because that is when next time you go on an airplane, I hope you'll remember this little seed that I'm planting. That's why they say, put the oxygen mask on first, then help others, right? Mm-hmm. I spent most of my life taking care of everybody else, taking care of everybody else. And there's a freedom once you get to, you know, towards the tail end of menopause. I think for me, my experience was not, oh, I had this epiphany in the middle of it. It was like, you know, but have this epiphany that, okay, what really matters is let's bring it back here. So listen to your inner voice, listen to your heart.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else want to comment on that? Laura?
Yeah, I totally do, because I agree with all of that. And even more so, don't be ashamed of it. Menopause is not something to hide. Menopause is not something to lie about. It's not something to cover. If you think back to 50s, even the 60s, pregnancy was something to be ashamed of. You know, women covered it. They used their skirts. They hid it. You couldn't work. Oh my gosh, shame, shame, shame. You're pregnant. This is horrible. Breastfeeding. You know, we've gone in and out of, oh, you can't see that. Don't be ashamed of it. If you have shame around it, others will have shame around it. If you're uncomfortable, others will have uncomfortable. Let's break down the stigma, because this is a normal, natural transition that all women who live long enough are going to go through. Isn't it time we talked about it?
I feel like I need a picket sign or something yeah, I know. Because we rock, we're strong. You know, if you can get through childbirth and menopause, who should be messing with you, right? Yeah, I know. So Mary Beth.
Yeah, and just to pick up on what Stephanie talked about, and the word mindfulness comes to mind, right? Because we need to be aware of how we're feeling. We need to be aware, where is that stress right now? My shoulders just feel like they're on, and the world is resting on them. Mm-hmm. And rather than going do, is to really step back and stop and say, gosh, how am I feeling and why? Where is this coming from? And we don't allow ourselves to do that, both as women and as business owners, you know, as moms, as anybody. It's all about the doing. One of the things that I found that helps me is when I wake up in the morning, first thing is not to think about my to-do list, but I call it, what's my to-be list? How do I want to be today? And I'll pick one word. I mean, maybe that's peaceful. Maybe that's tender. Maybe that's, and I love that word tender, being tender with ourselves. Do we ever hear the word tender, you know, but to be tender with ourselves and whatever that word really comes to mind. I put a little post-it on my computer to help me say, oh, take a breath, just step back and be that today. The to-do will get done. What is more important is that mindfulness, is that taking care of ourselves.
I love to be list. I am so stealing that. It's already stolen. It's written down. I'm tomorrow morning when we get on the call. I'm using
it. Really
that.
Helps.
Yeah. Randy, last one, and then we'll go around the table with a final question.
I was just going to say that is such a great nugget. My to be list. I have a mug that someone gave me for some reason, and it came with chalk, and it's got a little thought bubble on it, and you write a word on the mug. And one word I wrote 2 days ago was yay, because it's just important to say yay when things are good. And then today it rhymes, just coincidentally, I put play. Because I'm starting a stand-up comedy class next week. And the good girl in me is like, oh my God, I hope I don't suck. But the woman in me is going, I just want to play. Whatever happens, happens. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would say the to-be list is a fabulous thing. And, you know, if you're lucky, you're at a stage of life and stages are done. You're going through menopause. You're no longer going to have children. My 5-year-old grandson said to me, Grandma, are you going to have another baby? And yeah, that was funny. So no, but I have you 3 grandchildren. That's enough for me right now. But, you know, to embrace where you're going, when I hit 70, it was like, I thought it would bother me, but I thought, oh, a whole new decade to play with. So I love that to-be list. That's fabulous. So I just wanted to support that. And I would just add to that, you can't please everybody. And part of the journey of getting through menopause and talking about it is to learn to appreciate your own flaws, find them adorable, and find your sense of humor about your own imperfection, and keep learning. Do your best.
I love that. So we're going to go around the table. I'll ask the final set question. I'll be honest, for you guys listening, I gave them 60 seconds. I'm going to give them 30 seconds to answer it. And I'm going to give you another 45 seconds to tell everyone what you do and tell folks how they can find you. Okay, so question is, as a woman celebrating Women's History Month, what legacy or message do you hope to leave for future generations of midlife women? So 30 seconds that, and then about 45 seconds telling us what you do and where people can find you. All right. So
are we doing that in a row? Or are we going around twice?
I was going to go around twice, but let's just do it in a row. All right. Perfect. You want to go first, Randy?
Sure. I would like to leave this message in Women's History Month for future generations, because this is the first generation that where we just feel like we're connected, but after COVID and so much social media, to remind people to engage with each other. Human beings are wired to connect, and Zoom is great, and I'm so loving this, but the more we can connect in person, the better. COVID should have taught us that, if anything. So remember to show up for people. Show up in person if you can. Go to that wedding, go to that funeral, visit that friend in the hospital, be there for each other. Reach out for help, reach out to help, reach your hand out the window so they'll let you into the lane if it's crowded. When we reach out, that helps us to engage, and then to let in people's ideas, other people's perspectives. As Stephanie was saying, listen with your 2 ears to yourself and to other people as well, so you can make up your own mind. So in this epidemic of loneliness, I leave you with that message to show up, reach out, and let in so we can engage for maximum impact. I'm Randy Kay. Both of my names are spelled with a Y-E at the end. The E is silent. I am not silent, but the E stands for engagement. That's how I'm planning to put that. My website is randyk.com. My books are Ben Behind His Voices, about my son's and family's journey with schizophrenia, and Happier Made Simple. Choose your words and change your life. And I'd love to meet you.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Randy. Laura.
I think the message that I want to leave for everybody is around judgment. It's so easy to fall into a place of fear and to start judging other people, whether it's for their choices or their appearance or what they're going through or what you would do. And the bottom line is, we're all doing the best that we can. And truly, the best way to support other women is to not judge them. If they want to stay at home, if they want to work, whatever, do not judge other women. Support them. By supporting somebody, it doesn't mean you have to agree with them, but by God, support them just because they are a woman. And I think that is the strongest thing we can do for each other and for this world. I am Laura Cheadle. I'm a former attorney and burnout recovery expert. I work with individuals, corporations, HR departments on reframing burnout as a sense of betrayal, so people can actually get to the root cause of what's causing their dissatisfaction and stay engaged and happy, both professionally and personally. And my website is workplace-burnout.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Laura. Shula.
So I would say the nugget is, there's nothing wrong with you. I have seen in my career as a therapist, working with regular folks and also working with women entrepreneurs, people come to my office thinking there's something wrong with them. And what's really happening is they're having a normal reaction, the kind of reaction we would expect given what they're going through. Mm-hmm. So I invite you to place a gentle hand on your chest when you're having a hard time and reminding yourself that there's nothing wrong with you. I'm Shula Meet Bear Lev Tov. You can call me Shula for short. And my pronouns are she, her. I'm known as the entrepreneur's therapist. And in this era of relentless stressors that can make you want to lose your crap on the daily basis, I support women business owners to care for their mental and emotional well-being so they can ride the emotional roller coaster of running a business and set the foundation for successful businesses. And my newsletter is how I would invite folks to connect with me, Shula, Shula.ca for Canada, /newsletter.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Stephanie.
There we are. So I already said the first tip because it's the most important, and it's that listen to your inner voice. Trust your inner knowing. Trust yourself. Stand in your power. Even when the winds are blowing heavy around you, stand there strong and think of selfish in a new way, right? As women, we're told as little girls, don't be selfish, don't be selfish. And you know what? Being selfish is the most loving thing we can do, not just for ourselves, but for others. So think of selfish in a different way of when I take care of myself, I can take care of others better. And I know that from my years of experience now. I'm Stephanie D'Alfonso. I am a master hypnotist for 19 years. I've been helping people learn how to rewire their brains using hypnosis and other science-based methodologies. I'm also the accidental author of Goodbye Anxiety, Hello Freedom, 35 Simple Ways to Calm Stress and Anxiety. Because if I say, take 20 minutes to meditate in the morning, 20 minutes at night, you're not going to do it. When I teach you how to do it in less than a minute, you'll rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. You can get 5 of the techniques from my book, along with I do free monthly self-hypnosis master classes, which are always a lot of fun. I promise I won't make you bark like a dog or cluck like a chicken. You can get info on that and the tips from the book at hypnosiswithsteph.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Stephanie. Mary Beth.
So for me, it is being, as I talked about, being mindful of how we are feeling and how we are feeling and treating others as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the first thing, is to really be honest. It's about self-honesty. And I'm back to that word tender, to be tender with ourselves. It's okay. No matter what we do, it's going to be next, right? I love the word. Okay, I did that. Maybe it wasn't my best self, but next. And to me, that also gets into curiosity. I guess it's one of the things was be curious about what you're doing, what you're feeling. And that leads to such discovery, self-discovery, and it opens up such creativity. So I think that's, for me, those are the important things. And I just love that we've all built on each other and, have such common experiences and different experiences. Mm-hmm. And it's also about support. We don't have to do this by ourselves. We get to reach out. I really encourage people to do this. So I'm Mary Beth Gregg, GREGG. My company is the International Center for Women's Leadership, TICWL.com. I also wrote a book, How to Soar with a Broken Wing, Finding Tiny Moments of Joy Every Day. And to me, that's really important that we are joyful every day, that we get to create that joy. And I do coaching, executive coaching with women business owners, women executives, and moms as well, because that's such a group of incredible, humanity that is there and is really, really, that's the power that we have within ourselves as just beings on this planet, that we get to really love each other and love ourselves.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you, Mary Beth. Thank you, Brandy, Laura, Shula, Stephanie. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much for the conversation. Everyone listening, thank you for listening to Hello Hot Flash, where we help you control the midlife change. Make sure to check out the show notes, where we will include links to all of the subjects and the books that were mentioned today as well. Once again, here's to your health.